Day Player on 720 WGN. So everybody knows that the Windy City offers unlimited sunshine and heat, but when the weather is just right, Chicagoans and will furiously scramble to occupy every breezy umbrella-covered patio and shady green garden in sight. And tonight, Elliot Bamber, my buddy from WGN-TV's Chicago's Best, is joining us in studio to talk about the best outdoor spots. Maybe we'll talk a little rooftop bar, some personal favorites. It's summertime. It's nice to see you, buddy.
It's good to see you, too. I don't know about this summer, though. This summer's a little bit... Is that bad?
What happened?
Also, I thought you were like pointing at the mics.
No, I'm
and
just
like
making every sure everything's okay.
Okay,
let's do it. Go ahead.
Okay, how you doing?
I am doing fabulous. Yeah, summer's been kind of funky. It's 70 degrees, then it's 90 degrees.
It doesn't
want to
make up its mind.
Here's what I love about summer is we didn't have much of a winter, so I feel like I wasn't so beat up that it was so desperate for summer, but I'm enjoying just even sitting in my yard and chilling and having a little meal.
There is nothing better in Chicago than summertime because the city comes alive. It's a different place. Everyone's out. Everyone wants to enjoy and embrace the summer days, the 100 days of summer.
Yeah.
It's just there's nowhere else like it.
You know what? Also, I feel like I explore different types of restaurants in warmer weather than I do in the cooler weather. So
you think?
Yeah, I'm doing more comfort foodie type stuff in the wintertime,
right.
And I want something a little lighter. But I'm always into barbecue, no matter what time of the year, especially summer. But I mean, I'm really into the barbecue too.
Barbecue stretches those subsets, right? You can do it winter comfort food, and you can do it summer. Actually, we just wrapped shooting. Well, I certainly wrapped shooting my segments for our new barbecue episode that's going to be coming out next month. And man, I love barbecue.
Yeah,
I can't get enough.
And new places, I'm assuming too.
New places.
That's probably one of the more common. Like you've done. Multiple barbecue episodes, and you're always finding these new little spots.
We spread the love as well. So I mean, when we talk about barbecue, we talk, you know, Southside Aquarium Smoke. We do Carolina. We do Texas. We do Kansas. We do all the kinds of different barbecues. And this city may not be known as a barbecue town, but there are plenty of great spots, and there are spots offering great barbecue.
Absolutely,
yeah,
and great outdoor spots too. So you've got you've done some episodes on great outdoor dining.
Alfresco dining.
What's some of your faves?
Some of my faves. I wanted to spread the love around as we always do on the show as well. Throw it all the way around Chicagoland. My first spot is what you would call a classic outside alfresco dining establishment, which is Antiprima in Andersonville on Clark Street. It's a gorgeous, very rustic. When I say basic, I don't mean like I don't mean simple in terms of the food they're putting out, but I mean in terms of the complexity. They let the food do the speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Antiprima does quintessential Italian regional food right. They are also very seasonal because they have their own herb and vegetable garden.
Yeah, that's cool.
Very cool. So everything is super, super seasonal. At the moment, they have their zucchini growing in the garden, which means they take the zucchini flowers and they batter them and they fry them. So
I don't
want to
sound
zucchini.
Like an idiot, but what is that?
The zucchini flower is... So every part of everything that grows has some kind of flower so it can pollinate and repurpose itself for next year. So at the top of the zucchini is a little light flower head. And I don't know. One of these things where it's like, who the hell thought of that first? You can take it and you lightly not so much breading, but you lightly batter it and you deep fry it and you can stuff it. They stuff it with ricotta cheese and it's amazing.
I've only heard about it on The Sopranos.
Right. Oh, it's pretty good. So anyway, the alfresco part of it comes in is at the back of the restaurant, hidden away in it's a back courtyard next to where their herb and vegetable garden is, and it's a secluded patio. You wouldn't think you're in the city. It's very, very quiet apart from the music pumping out and the clinking of glasses, and it's a very romantic, beautiful setting. It's like one of my favorite alfresco dining spots in the city.
So it's surprising that they have the outdoor thing.
It is surprising.
It's not prevalent. It's not out front.
Right, because it's on Pat Clark Street where there's a ton of other restaurants in Andersonville, and you would not expect to find this gorgeous utopia out back.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah.
Now, there's a place, and I'm going to just go back and refer to one of my favorite little supper clubs in Wisconsin is called the Duck Inn.
Right.
And our colleagues at WTMJ were up there on Friday doing this big, you know, live from the Duck Inn kind of thing. And I'm love fish fry, all that other good stuff. I keep hearing about the Duck Inn here in Bridgeport. I've never been. I've heard it like from too many people now that I have to go. Tell me about this place.
Duck Inn is not your mom or dad's supper club. It's Kevin Hickey, Chef Hickey, who is part of the company that started this place off. It's on the end of a residential street, so you wouldn't expect to find it there anyway. Which also, as a bonus and Southside bonus, there's no street parking. So it's there is street parking, but there's no meter parking, so you don't have to pay like $470,000 for 20 minutes try and find all those quarters that you left in the center compartment. It's a really interesting location, great menu, awesome cocktail menu. It's got a nice 50s 60s vibe to it in the front.
Ooh.
And in the back they have again a secluded fenced off patio, which is like no other. It's some of the best dining experience on the South Side, and the food there is great too.
What are some of your favorites?
My favorite is the rotisserie duck, where they take out the whole duck, chop it up, they slow cook it, they rotisserie it. Can we use that as a verb?
Yeah, I think
rotisserie it.
We'll look that up.
Yeah. And they serve it with a couple of different sauces and au jus.
But they do other duck dishes. I mean, duck, but do they do steak and everything else?
It's not all about duck. No, there's a ton of other, again, seasonal dishes, and it's a great menu, and it's a bit like Antiprima in the respect that it's a kind of very romantic spot. It's fun for a date night, but it's also just as good for, like, you know, getting together with friends and stuff. It's just amazing food in a location that some people thought was kind of like missing that kind of fine dining in the past.
You and I hang out a lot on the air. We don't hang outside the air. That's the place
that's
I want to go
fault.
To with you.
It is my fault. That's
not where
my
I want to go.
Fault.
I'm going to tell you take me to your duck inn. I'm going to take you to my duck inn.
That sounds like a plan.
All right.
We'll do both ducks.
All right. Kind of on a different wavelength here, Rand Red Hots, which I see on Route 12 across from Pesci's Flowers.
Right.
It looks like it's been there forever. Has it been?
It looks like it's been there forever. It was an old disused kind of eats place, I think, before, but it was abandoned. It was derelict, and the owners took it over a couple of years ago. They did it up to make it look nice and retro and old school.
Very cool.
It's like an old school drive-in. And many nights of the week, you'll see classic cars there. All the guys drive their classic cars out, so there's some very cool things there. Very simple menu. Gene and Jude's isn't too far down the street. That place gets packed. The other drawback for Gene and Jude's is that there is no relative outside seating at that place.
No.
So this place, there is a ton of sit-up seating. It's a fun place. Bring some cash. There's only cash only there. And they do pretty much the same kind of stuff as Gene and Jude's, with the Depression Dog, with the hand-cut fries on top of the dog. Just as good, in my opinion.
That's cool. I'm going to try it out then.
But it's a different kind of alfresco.
I'm a Gene and Jude's guy. Yeah,
it's a different kind of alfresco. You know, I think a lot of people think when you say alfresco that it has to mean, you know, white tablecloth. It's going to be expensive, and it doesn't have to be that.
Uh-uh. There's a place just down the street, and you know, I like throwing in my own too. There's a Paradise Pup. Do you know this place?
I love Paradise Pup.
You know what? And not so much about the dogs. I love
the burgers.
The burgers are
legendary.
The Cheddar Burgers.
You can't beat Merck's.
And then there's like a black cherry beverage that's swirling around that I remember like from high school.
It's probably the same thing still swirling around since high school.
It might be. It might be, but it is just as good. Just,
Paradise Pup is awesome.
Yeah,
man.
I love that place. And you can sit outside. I mean, you know, if you're not waiting in line too long, you're gonna be patient and sit outside. There's a couple of, or there's a food truck too that you like.
Yeah.
The Roaming Hog, and I haven't heard of this one.
The Roaming Hog is a Western Burb food truck. Again, a lot of people, I think, assume that food trucks are all downtown in the Loop, and they're all for people who work during the week and go and grab lunch. This is one of the many trucks that are based out in the Western Burbs. The reason I put this in again is because, you know, it doesn't have to be fine dining. Alfresco can mean so many different things. And if people haven't tried food trucks before, or if they don't think they have one on their doorstep, the Roaming Hog is like a great example, because they are pumping out restaurant quality food. And these guys do the whole hog thing. They take the whole pig, they butcher it themselves. They construct a menu around every part of the animal they have. And one of the things we featured on the show was their Asian burger, which is one of the best burgers I've ever had. And I've done ton of burgers in my entire life.
Yeah, I bet you that's fabulous.
It's unbelievable.
There's a little alfresco at the park at Wrigley. And so, you know, I've been there a few times already, where they've got literally food trucks lined up all inside this new park. And mm-hmm. so the lobster truck is there and some barbecue and everything. But people are literally just bringing a blanket or just sitting on the lawn and having a little pregame snack before they go in there. What
I think
a cool experience.
It's a food truck. We love food trucks on the show because we love our food. And it's a fun way to eat
sure.
food. And they're mobile. So it's super cool. I think another one of the myths is that you can only get a hot dog and a burger on a food truck,
no.
which is
no.
I don't even know if there is. Well, actually, there's the Dog Fiend, but then there's some other burger trucks. But the quality of the food coming out of these food trucks now, because of the competition for customers, we're the benefactors of that because the quality of the food coming out is so various and so good. And I think the other misconception is, well, if it's coming off a truck, then it's going to be like, you know, mm-hmm. a couple of bucks.
No.
The prices aren't cheap, but trust me, the quality of food you get off these trucks is sensational. So if you live in the Western Burbs, or if you're traveling out that way and you could track down the Roaming Hog, find their Facebook page or use Chicago Food Truck Finder as a great resource.
Yeah, that's a great way to do that because I will drive around downtown and I never see any food trucks, but I know there's certain corridors of the city that they're kind of all lined up and parked, right?
Right. They get a pretty bad run of deal for city parking.
I've
but
seen
that's,
that. Yeah.
That's kind of, I think that's slowly easing up. There's been some discussions, but that's a political thing. Let's not go there. follow Chicago Food Truck Finder if you want to find out locations, but also check out the Roaming Hog. They've got their own Twitter and Facebook page, and they always post where they're going to be.
If there was a food truck in Chicago that drove past you and you saw it, and it was, what would be your absolute favorite that you would stop what you were doing, and regardless if you ate already, you would go over and get something?
Oh, see, this is when I have to pick a favorite child because they
pick a few if you want.
I can pick a few.
Yeah.
I'd definitely pick the Fat Shallot, mainly because that was my first ever food truck
shoot.
Heard
you talk about that.
And they're one of the oldest food trucks in the city. When I say old, they've been around for like 7 years.
Yeah, right.
They were one of the first ones that were allowed to cook on board the truck because for a longest time, you weren't allowed to cook
food.
You
had to have a kitchen.
You had to have an actual kitchen, but now they're allowed to cook on there, of course. Probably the Happy Lobster.
Yeah, me too. Because Happy Lobster. Yep.
Those guys are doing amazing stuff. I don't know. I don't want to sit here and say for 15 minutes and try and think
Any
about it.
Any dessert trucks?
Flutty Go Cupcakes is really good. Who else? I'm going to forget some people, and I'm going to kick myself not thinking about it.
Chicago's Best TV.com has it all.
There you go. That's where I should check.
That's
I should download my app.
You
shameless
should download
plug,
your app exactly
and check out all the segments.
Thank you, Dave. You're welcome. You're welcome. Ruby's Maxwell Street. Obviously, when you hear the word Maxwell Street, you're going to think food. But tell me a little bit about Ruby's.
Okay, so Maxwell Street Market is the oldest market in the entire country. It's been there forever. It's moved places now, obviously, because it's no longer on Maxwell Street.
Mm-hmm.
But this, what I thought this would be a fun thing for people to do, to eat al fresco. It's on a Sunday, Maxwell Street Market. So you can take the family down, you can go and have a nice morning or afternoon walking around. And at this market is one of the best al pastor. They also do other tacos. They do, you know, carne asada and all the other great stuff you can put in tacos and fillings. But one of the most legendary one day a week taquerias in the city, and that's Ruby's.
That's cool.
At the new Maxwell Street Market. They do traditional trompo style al pastor, which means it's not coming out of a drawer in marinade. They stack a spit, and it goes on old-school charcoal, and it turns around, and it's sliced off thinly by charcoal crispy layers with pineapple in there. They make the tortillas in front of
you. I like when they add the grilled pineapple
It's a special thing. They're only open one day a week, and people go crazy for
That's cool.
And I do, too.
I like the anticipation that it's one day a week.
And also, if you go down and Dad's working, he yells out in Spanish and English the entire menu in about 15 seconds.
It's awesome.
And while he's sharpening his blades to cut off the
awesome.
Trample. But Ruby's is an experience, definitely.
You talked earlier about Antiprima and the fact that it's just unexpected that mm-hmm. there's a garden in the back. And I had dinner with our buddy Dean Richards
Dean.
Few weeks ago, and we went to Sabatino's. And I always think about Sabatino's as a great family place, but also more comfort food. Like, I go there a lot in the winter. I don't go there in the summer. And we were talking about, let's go somewhere and eat outdoors. And we went through a list of names. And he said, well, Sabatino's has an outdoor. And I'm like, where's that?
Right.
Right to the right of it. And it's beautiful and secluded. And it's just lovely.
There are so many spots in every neighborhood around the city, ones that people are listening probably passed a million times themselves. And if you went in there and said, you know, do you guys have an outdoor spot?
Yeah.
Or is, you'd be surprised that, you know, a lot of them do. I mean, there are so many around town. There's a bunch of my favorites that, you know, kind of live off of that. Like Little Bad Wolf, again, another one in Andersonville. There's a place called Waterfront Cafe, which is kind of secluded. That's kind of secluded.
If you didn't know
about Waterfront Cafe, you wouldn't know it was there on Sheridan in Edgewater. But it's private views of Lake Michigan. It's special. Places downtown in the Loop. There's a ton of them. River Roast. Yeah. The new River Walk.
Ooh, love River Roast.
That's great.
John Hogan.
Yeah. Good food. Good drinks.
Good cocktails.
Dave Plyer always goes straight to the drinks.
Well,
are you crying? You're crying for help every week.
You guys listening,
it's his own secret cry for help. Whenever he talks, he always talks about, oh, they make a great Manhattan, or, oh, these great cocktails here.
And when I talk about that, everyone has to take a drink.
Well, there we go. That's a great drinking game.
It is a great drinking game. Two other little Chicago places, Honey Butter Chicken and Bang Bang Pie, also have these unexpected gardens behind them that you would never No, was there, and I love those two places.
Mm-hmm.
That'll really make your day.
Fried chicken and pie. Fried chicken and pie and barbecue any time of year again.
Yeah.
You can have it cold weather for comfort. You can have it in summertime outside, and it's just – but the thing weird about it, it's the exact same ingredients, same cook, but the way it tastes in winter, it tastes like it sticks to your bones, and in the summer, it's just – it makes you just smile
totally
when you're seeing outside.
Love it. Cafe Touche in Edison Park is a favorite. Mm-hmm. Holtz in Park Ridge is kind of new. Chief O'Neill's, which, you know, people think about, you know, people don't eat Irish food all year round. Some people don't. They go on special occasions or whatever. This is one of the best. This is the best Irish place in town. They have the most amazing meals, cocktails, and they have an outside little venue to go hang out and live music.
Right by the side of the restaurant, by the big bay doors. Yeah. Outside there is this gorgeous function area. I know a ton of people had weddings and stuff there because it's that pretty and it's that beautiful to look at. But that's a great Irish bar, and like you said, there's music pumping out most nights of the week with some traditional, you know, Gaelic instruments, and it's a great place.
I love Rooftops too. I love Tavern at the Park, Whiskey Business on North Milwaukee. Have you done London House yet? Because I would think you would have gotten a red carpet at the London House.
Right, okay. I have some beef with these people. I represent my mother. I'm a true Chicagoan to heart. I'm a big Sox fan.
Yep.
I get crap for that all the time. Yep. I go and see my...
Brittany's a Cubs fan, isn't she?
She's the Cubs fan,
Yeah.
I go and watch Chicago Fire all the time because I'm a big soccer fan.
Yeah,
I love my Blackhawks. I've been to see numerous times. I went to all the parades and stuff.
Sure.
But I do represent the motherland where I'm originally from. However... I have not been given the golden key from them. They have never personally reached out and asked me to go and be part and privy and be a spokesperson for them. So
that's
I've never been.
You know what I'm saying.
That is the big steaming pile of that stuff. I've never been. They've never told me to come out and have afternoon tea with them
East
and the Queen.
Whacker. It's fabulous. And the Queen.
Yeah, the Queen and I should hang out there together. But is it really everyone? That's the first thing people normally say to me. Have you been to Soho? Have you been outside? I've seen pictures and I'm just like, screw you guys.
Nice.
Where's my damn invite?
Nice. Now, I do feel like, though, when I go to some of these rooftop places, and maybe I'm going to too hip of a rooftop place, I am like grandpa.
Why do you act like grandpa when you go there and say, put on some clothes, young lady?
No, I don't do that.
Too revealing.
I don't do that at all. And, of course, exploring great restaurants in the city and the burbs in the summertime, it's a great way to try new things. You know, people, as I said before, always come in the city and they do their staples or chains or whatever. And ChicagosBestTV.com and the app is a great way. You can key in exactly what type of food you want, and you can watch the review, read the review, and go head to a new place. It's a great way to do that.
Right. I mean, people can use this as a resource. Let us open up the doors to these places for you. Watch the segments, or you can use our app now. You can search by food in areas. So if you're in an area, you can search by Italian, or you can search by a meat or a steak or a pork or a burger, and you can check out these places that might be near you, and we'll take you through the front door so you guys can get a good idea of what you're getting yourself into, because I know people work hard. They want to make sure they get a good bang for their buck, and they're going to get what they like. So I understand that.
What's coming up tonight? Because now there's a Chicago Power Hour that happens at 10 o'clock. All about Chicago leads off with Chicago's
there
best.
There is. A new episode tonight. It's our Outrageous Eats episode, and it's everything from ginormous portions to crazy concoctions. So it's not all just food challenges.
And you try to put that down?
This is embarrassing. This will be my third food challenge. The first two I failed, not miserably, but I didn't do them. The third food challenge I've ever taken on is in this episode, and without giving too much away, my lead producer told me the other day, the next time we do a food challenge, can we get one of your professional eater friends on, because this is embarrassing, you not being able to do these food challenges. No one wants to watch you fail anymore.
But everyone wants a nice big plate of food, and they could take home some leftovers and stuff, so this is a great episode to find those places.
There are plenty of food challenges all around Chicago.
Yeah.
They don't say that you can't share it between a bunch of people, but obviously that cuts you out of the competition, because it's no longer just true. You're trying to take down the food. But there's a great the 50-50 bar has a great 50 menu items on a challenge, but they don't say it's on the menu, and they don't say, you know, you can't order it between a bunch of people. So it's a great way to share a bunch of different variety of foods.
Love the show. Chicago's Best, Sunday night at 10, WGN TV, all over CLTV, chicagosbesttv.com, and check out the app as well. Elliot, always a pleasure, my friend.
Dave Plyer, it's always an absolute pleasure. Listeners out there, please think about Dave as he cries for help every time he mentions cocktails. He wants you to help him.
We're going to do ice cream next time.
Ice cream.
Sweets and ice cream.
And cocktails.
The grasshopper. the Brandy Alexander. We'll do that too. See you, buddy.
Cool. Thanks, dude.
It's 720 WGN.